welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James, the Fat Man Stevens, and the man whose only goal in life is not to be stuck with the nickname Creepy, Ryan Preston. So, just want to get my coughing out of the way. And no, I'm not a lunger. I don't have tuberculosis or whatever things you guys think I have. And I don't smoke.
The consumption.
Exactly.
The consumption.
A man was caught driving a stolen car with radioactive uranium. Is there another type of uranium? Rattlesnakes and whiskey.
Weapons-grade, enriched.
Well, it says radioactive uranium, even like those, what was it, depleted uranium is slightly radioactive. Hell, bananas are radioactive. So I think this guy must have been having the best day ever. I don't know what the hell he was doing, but it sounds like he was having a very fun time.
Now, were they live rattlesnakes?
I don't know. I got to read the article.
That's kind of what I'm wondering. Are they just dead rattlesnakes floating in some, you know, jelly or, you know, preserving liquid of some sort?
Okay, I got to downgrade this a little bit because it was a bottle of Kentucky Deluxe whiskey. And if you're going to have some fun, pick something better than...
He spent all his money on uranium. Come on, John. Give the guy a break. Come
on. Yeah, there's shit ain't cheap, even on the black market.
Yeah.
Oh, this is hilarious. Apparently his last name was Jennings. It's a fucking country song waiting to be written. Let's see. Police said Jennings... Police said Jennings' driver's license...
I just claimed Second Amendment rights.
America, bitches!
I know that would have been James's excuse. But the Second Amendment, bitch!
I thought I lived in a free country, assholes.
Let's see. It doesn't say anything... It doesn't actually say anything about the snakes that I saw. Apparently, he just had rattlesnakes.
I mean, hanging around his neck on a chain or some shit? What the?
Oh, perfect. Hold on. Police said Jennings' driver's license was suspended, and the car he was driving had been reported stolen. He reportedly told officers that he had a firearm in the center console, and there was a timber rattlesnake in an aquarium in the back seat. Okay, this is officially a country song. His name is Jennings. He had whiskey, rattlesnakes, firearms, and uranium. And where is this? If this is in Arizona, it's in Oklahoma. It's a fucking country song.
Yeah, that's a country song. Yeah. Was there a dog?
No dog or girlfriend.
No, but his rattlesnake was named, I don't know.
Oh, nope. And there was
some dog name. I can't think of it. Right
and
now.
There was a woman in his car.
If he named the snake a dog name, then I'll give it a pass.
Well, he had a passenger, so he at least has a girlfriend or an ex-wife in there or a wife. So
soon-to-be ex-girlfriend.
I don't know. Maybe the uranium was her idea, you know?
Oh, I could see the rattlesnake.
Hey, honey, let's go sniff some uranium.
Gotta bring Bo the rattlesnake.
I've known some people who have done some pretty weird drugs. Like, I think I knew a guy who took a hit off a Freon once, but uranium's a new thing.
I don't see you getting high off uranium, though. I guess technically it would be considered a high.
It's a different type of high.
Because a high is technically your body reacting to some chemical or
it's more
foreign object into your brain, and Ryan just left us.
It's more of a body high. That's what it really is.
A dying body high.
Are you there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, we were discussing what type of high you would get off uranium.
Yeah, not the kind of high you really want.
That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, I mean, technically.
The world's new favorite thing that I don't completely understand, a gender reveal party burnout gone wrong ends up with a car engulfed in flames and $47,000 acre fire. So, ladies and gentlemen, instead of doing what everybody else used to do, which was, I don't know, picking up a phone, sending cards... Y'all got to do this elaborate gender revealing shit. How about just, I don't know, not be so fucking stupid? Yay, we're having a boy or a girl. Just fucking tell people.
Or don't, because nobody really gives a shit.
Actually, my wife and I were trying not to tell anybody, because I thought it was funny just to surprise show up one day. It's like, hey, we have a kid. I told one person.
Yeah.
I told one person just because I thought it would be perfect, and I got in a little bit of trouble, which, by the way, was totally fair, because we both decided not to tell anybody, and I did Pandora's box, but this cat was literally walking out the door, and I waited till he basically shut the door and it was almost close and said, by the way, we're pregnant. Shut. All right. What was that? So how about show up with a fucking kid? I mean, I don't know. I think these gender reveal parties are fucking stupid, but maybe it's because I'm...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the parties. I do dig. I've seen some good ones, you know, as far as just conceptually. But yeah, having like the, hey, we're getting everybody together and, you know, we're going to do this stuff and hey, everyone's going to find out all, you know, I don't know. I guess any excuse to get everybody together and get hammered, I don't know.
Well,
I assume that's what's going on at these things.
By the way, that sounds horrible, by the way, because everybody else is getting hammered except the wife. That sounds like a really bad thing. Like,
if she agreed to an alcoholic or adult, you know, gender reveal party, I think she didn't really care about drinking while pregnant.
True. The only reason I'm somewhat for the gender parties is because, like, if you need an excuse to get together with friends, like it seems like my friends do it most of the time, it's a good excuse just to get the fucking together. Which is funny. What's funny, back in high school, if I could just tell people, hey, I got a $20 bag, and they're like, up it a little bit and we'll show up.
even not that, just like, hey, show up in the morning and maybe by the end of the day we'll have a $20 bag.
Well, no,
but, as an adult, I need the excuses. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to set up game night with fucking friends and shit.
Well, the problem with my friends is they all had a fairly high tolerance. So
yeah, right. Yeah.
It was like, hey, $20. It's like, oh, so appetizers? It's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, yeah, we all remember those days of that one skinny ass joint getting passed between 40 fucking people.
Actually, no, because when I was around people, nobody had anything skinny. You got to forget, like, the quantity.
It was just my broke ass friend.
Well, no, the quantity you could get up here back in the day was amazing.
Well, that's because there were so many grows.
That's true.
You could get fucking quarter pounds of the good old Los Angeles swag weed.
Man, but up here it was like, you know, everybody grew. Everybody still grows.
Yeah.
But now they're not afraid of getting arrested.
Yeah, but there was more
people. Yeah, versus down here in LA, I mean, you'd be lucky if you knew one guy who drove up to Humboldt once a month, you know?
Yeah, up here it's like Humboldt. We got better shit than Humboldt.
You're right. Well, you know what's fucking great? There was this story some years ago about these little old ladies that used to you know, the green thumb little old ladies, you know, up there, Northern California style, and just used to grow in their own little gardens forever and a day, and decided to grow weed. And they were like the best weed around because they were so good at growing plants.
Dude, I believe it.
When I was younger, some of the shit you get would make you see purple. I mean...
Yeah, I wouldn't let you taste it, but it would let you see it. But I mean, like, yeah, it was like everybody, you know, could get weed. There was a few people that knew the growers. I was one of those people, so I became a middleman by default, basically. But, you know,
fucking
like,
enabler.
You would get easily a bunch, like, pounds if you wanted. They would just pass out shake in big old bags during grow season, and I just... Yeah.
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, well, you know, we all used to fucking volunteer to be the,
trimmers.
We all volunteered at least once to be part of the trimming party, and then you very rarely did that twice.
I vaguely remember something about an acquaintance of mine having, like, a trash bag full of clippings.
Yeah, I used to have that shit, too. Every year we'd get it. Yeah, it was not a big deal, but, yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, now it's like it's everywhere, and nobody really wants to go through the effort of growing it anymore, since you can basically walk into a shop and come out with whatever the hell you want.
Oh, so kind of.
Yeah, it's weird.
So kind of a subject change. One of the last surviving movie stores, music stores, bookstores are closing down up in our area.
Which one? Dimple?
Dimple. What? So there's a store in Northern California, and they're not everywhere. They're only in our specific area, called Dimple Records. And there's a handful of locations. And it's actually, being a movie freak, I've spent a lot of money and I've sold stuff, but it's kind of what I did for hobbies. And so they're all closing down.
That sucks.
And it's kind of an end of an era. So the reason I say that is because I've been thinking of experiences that I'll never be able to share with my kid. Let me get up my list if I can find it, because it's kind of a bummer. There's certain things that I just will never be able to share. Hold on. Here it is. So these are some of the things that I won't be able to share. So the circus. When I was a kid, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey were absolutely amazing.
Greatest show on earth.
100% was. I saw it once as a kid, and it was affected me for life. It was literally one of the things afterwards I remember thinking, I can't wait until I have a kid so I can take them here. And I remember acquaintances of mine, they were pretty much dancing around going, yay, and they're good. Those things, you know, they're horrible, need to shut down. I just literally MF'd them. I said, motherfucker. Video rental stores. If you've listened to us at all, this is an experience for us, which was going on Saturday nights or Sunday nights, scraping together money or begging your parents to
Tuesday mornings, yeah. Wednesday afternoons.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. It was like every day type thing. Or every other day, depending on how many movies you got.
Every other day, we usually pick enough movies to last a day and a half.
Music stores. I've always liked music. I've never been a buff enough to buy a shit ton of CDs. James is an acquaintance with a guy who has a ton of CDs, and it's just not, you know, never been my thing, but I loved music stores. I loved trying to find the perfect, you know, it's like the album, because there's always rare albums that I always looked for. Never found most of them. But this is stuff I'm going to miss. The other thing is, retail stores, like electronics stores, up by us. I don't know if they were anywhere else, but there was a store called The Good Guys. They were my favorite stores.
Yeah, I think they were down here.
They were my favorite stores to go in as a kid. You know, wall-to-wall electronics. They had the old-school TV wall. I remember when I was a kid back in the 80s, my parents bought a 32-inch TV back in the 80s. It was huge. It took 4.5 people to move. It was 500 pounds. You could literally.
Four and a half?
Yeah, well, I was trying. Come on, give me a break.
Okay, I got you.
And I remember, you know, I remember the experience and the fun of it. And now electronic stores, everything sells fucking electronics. There's no specialists anymore. I mean, up by us in certain.
There's no reason to leave your house anymore.
See, that's
no reason to make an event out of it.
Radio Shack's closed.
No, there isn't.
There's still a Radio Shack over by. Off of Green Valley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it that, like, last Radio Shack, like that last Blockbuster in Canada?
Yeah. Basically.
And, the issue I have, and this is, especially as I get older, is the thrill of online shopping I've kind of lost, because not only do I not have disposable income meaning that I'm willing to be fucking broke forever, you may not, you know, pay rent. Like, as a kid, you didn't necessarily care because there's this latest gadget or gizmo or whatever the fuck that you were willing to purchase. I just don't have that because I have more responsibilities besides myself. And I like going to the store and seeing, okay, is this what I want? Is this what I want? And playing with it. And really, besides just, you know, I hate returning shit because some shit you return is like returning giant objects is a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, the fact people return TVs on Amazon amazes me.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I would just have an extra TV. That's what would happen.
Right?
I'm fucking taking that thing somewhere.
Or what I would have done is, like, here, I'd ask a friend, hey, do you have $1,200? Well, I'll give you this $2,500 TV for half the price.
Yeah,
if you just get it out of my house, which would never happen. I hold on to TVs pretty well.
Yeah, no shit.
Well.
I mean, I fucking... I bought a goddamn N64 game because I got all nostalgic one afternoon. And it didn't work. And I was like, okay, well, fuck, I got to return this thing. And I go on to Amazon and I hit the thing and it says, okay, take it to this spot, you know, and print this label out. And they made it as easy as fucking possible. I still have that game.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I fucking blew on it old school style until the damn thing worked.
And then it smiled.
And now I didn't have to take it back anymore.
Yeah, I just...
But for a good week and a half, it wasn't fucking working. And just because of Amazon's super simple return policy that I was unwilling to follow, I got it working.
I still think it's a pain in the ass, but they have the easiest.
It's the easiest thing in the world, but it was a fucking bridge too far for me.
Right. And the other thing that, and this is more of an experience versus going somewhere, Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
That was something to me. I literally remember, like, during the week, getting up at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whenever I had to wake up, I dreaded it. I couldn't wake up on the weekdays at 6 a.m. without an alarm clock to save my life. I actually broke a number of them because I hit them so hard. The one with a bell that used to go, I broke one of those. Just threw it. But I would wake up 6 o'clock on a Saturday so I could make sure I could catch the first cartoon. There used to be this kid.
Yeah, well, wasn't me. Appointment viewing in sleeping. General, not even just Saturday morning cartoons.
I was sleeping until X-Men came on.
No, see, I remember as a kid, there was this candy.
Okay, I'd wake up and then go back to sleep.
The one I remember is there's this candy cane motherfucker, and I don't remember the show's name or anything else, but if you saw him, you knew, okay, cartoons are going to start after this stupid show. And so I always tried to get up so I could watch cartoons because I have always been an animation nut. So there's very few cartoons I won't see. There's a handful of them that I have no desire to and or I don't want to see. But I miss the experience of things. And I think that's one of the issues I have with everybody doing online shopping. Oh, the other thing. You go to the fucking movie store, electronic store, whatever it is. You name a thing. And there's the jabroni behind the counter and say, hey, man, I'm looking for a movie that is this genre or this actor that has this specific twist. And one of the guys in there or girls in there say, oh, yeah, you want this movie, this movie, or this movie. Or you go you go into an electronic store. Dude, I'm looking for a TV that's 240 hertz that has 6 HDMI and does this, this, and this. The guy go, okay, it's the last one to the right, and it's an LG.
Yeah. There's that simple interaction, but then there's also in the case of the video store that, like you kind of bring it up or alluding to, that found movie that guy knew. That fucking one guy who was like, hey, you know what, man, you like that movie? Not a lot of people dig that. Let me show you another one. You're like, all right, man, I'll let you go with this one. What do you got?
My favorite one was going into the video store I used to go into all the time, and the guy behind the counter going, hey, you want to see some shit? And he would pick the most random movie that you never knew existed and be like, here you go.
Right.
Because he knew I watched everything that, you know, was popular or semi-popular or, you know, just basically everything. And he would find that one or two movies that I'd never seen before.
And so I used to, way back in the day, right after high school, I worked at Hollywood Video. And one of the things I enjoyed, too, was fucking with people. Because if you're working retail and a guy who's not only making a minimum wage, but his pay raise was like maybe 10 cents. It's like, okay, I'm going to fuck with people. Like, I remember a group of people who were just being a bunch of doinks. And I said, and then they recommended the week before, after. It's like, we really want a horror movie. Oh, there's this one you're going to love called Altered States, which, by the way, is a decent movie if you're looking for a certain type of movie. But if you're expecting a slasher and hacker and, you know, one of these just atypical horror movies.
Lawnmower Man.
You know,
Lawnmower Man's a better movie.
Everybody has access to the material they need to make, you know, whatever they want in a very cheap way. The YouTube movies and things like that, or people just grabbing the cheap camcorder and some cheap editing software. You know, I'm also a firm believer in art lives in its limitations. You know what I mean? Like, if you give me put me in a room with every instrument known to man and ask me to make a song, it would take me 10 years before I picked the right instrument.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
like, if you give me a fucking clarinet and a drum set, it's like, all right, well, It's not going to be the best, but I'll get you something.
By the way, talk about short films.
The distribution back in the day, I mean, you know, the effort that it took to make a fucking movie is not there anymore. I mean, there's still the effort, but then that grind of the distribution, trying to find somebody to sell it to, it wasn't just any idiot trying to make a movie. You know, or if it was that idiot, it was that guy that was the most passionate person you've ever seen and was willing to spend the next 10 years trying to get it done.
By the way, talk about short films. I want to give a shout out to Paul Holdbrook at at Chunk Films. One of my all-time favorite kind of short film guys. We've done, reviewed some of his stuff at Unreal Flix Reviews. A Girl and Her Gun was one of the ones that we did back in the day. So shout out to you guys. No, you're right. That is one of the positive things, is the barrier to entry on a lot of stuff is gone.
Yeah.
But to kind of
distributors, you know, but you had to find those people. You had to go out and connect and say like, oh, here's some like-minded people. And there was effort involved. I don't know.
But to roughly paraphrase the lead singer of Metallica, the experience of things are not gone. The thing he said in this particular interview, he was saying when he was a kid or younger, you would buy the LP, you'd put it on the record player, you'd put your headphones on, and you'd be just reading the insert to the album.
Or yeah, the liner notes, yeah.
You'd be experiencing music. And his comment was, now music is just, oh, and the, you know, I'm listening to music and I'm doing the dishes, or I'm doing this or doing that, instead of sitting down and just chilling.
Yeah,
one of my all-time favorite
or
things.
Or listening to a whole album. You know what I mean? The effort it took to move the fucking needle and find the edge of the next song. You know, even there's that little gap you can spot, but it's like, okay, well, which one was that? You just let the album play. You know, now you don't even put those B-sides on your fucking your iPhone anymore.
Dude, talk about that. A little bit of a sidebar. So I got a record player for Christmas, but it's having some issues. So my cousin, Mr. Wizard, who can literally fix anything. You know, he's like the professor from Gilligan's Island, except he can actually fix a 2-foot hole in a fucking boat. So he fixed my record player. I'm going to buy, Days of Future Past by Moody Blues. It is my favorite album. Nice. Just to put on and chill to.
I dig Moody Blues.
You got to listen to this album. There's a dual album that I really love, that I'm hardcore in love with.
What was it called again?
It's Days of Future Past.
Okay, I think I had like their greatest hits or something.
One of my favorite things to do, and in my entire life, right next to hanging out with my wife, right next to hanging out with my kids, is at the end of the day on a Friday night, put on my Jazz Pandora playlist, smoke a cigar, and drink my favorite bourbon of choice. It is the most choice activity I can do at the end of the day by myself, because you just get to relax, experience jazz. And in my opinion, music is basically like this, but jazz for me is particularly like this, is there's so much soul to it. Like, you can tell when the guy playing the trumpet or whatever is in a bad mood, because it comes across, even if he's playing a happy note, you can feel this dude was kind of having a shitty day. That's one of the reasons I love jazz. It is, in my opinion, is the ultimate art when it comes to music, because I think the drummer.
True American art form.
What was that?
It's the true American art form. That's for sure.
The drummer always seemed fucking bored, to be honest, because you're just going. Dun, tsh,
dun. Yeah, it depends on the kind of jazz.
True.
Yeah, true.
You know, you get like bebop jazz or something, and that shit gets fucking cool.
But I love jazz. It is one of my all time favorite music, which is really weird, because if you listen to my old iPod back in the day, you would get Dizzy Gillespie, Sonny Rollins, right next to hardcore death metal. So you'd get Louis Armstrong, you know, singing some song. Then all of a sudden, the next one's, oh, there you go.
So that brings up a question that yeah. I was going to mention. Ryan and I talked about this a couple weeks ago when he just kind of called randomly. I pick three cover songs by a band, not the originals. Three cover songs that you guys really enjoy.
Wait, was that a question?
Yeah,
that
is a question.
Is that just part of that?
Yeah.
Try to
narrow it down
what
to three.
Are three.
That I enjoy more than the original?
That you enjoy more than the original. Three covers of a song
can I like them in the same? Can I like both? Or because
you can like both, but I only want to know the cover. Get the cover and the
with
song.
A little help from my friends, the Joe Cocker version. I can't even fucking listen to the Beatles version anymore. Yeah, that changed everything. Goddamn, Joe Cocker's done a few covers, but as far as top three.
One of my, actually, I really like the Disturbed Sound of Silence, just because it's a different.
You can just shove that up your rear.
Well, it's a.
I was gonna say James might try to fly across the table at you right now.
I like that one.
I remember trying to defend that one, and he's like, "Fuck you."
Lincoln Brewster's version of Hallelujah.
Okay.
I like the original, but I like Lincoln Brewster's better, just because I like his spin on it. God damn.
Yeah, Ugly Kid Joe. Cats in the Cradle.
Yep.
By the way, if any of you motherfuckers...
I'm going to go with Sepultura's version of Bullet the Blue Sky by YouTube.
Nice.
Wow. And I will say, hold on, if any of you motherfuckers
pick
Uncle
Eileen,
Cracker's version of Drift Away, do me a favor. Delete this show from your iPad. Because or whatever you listen to, because that is the worst version of that song known to man. Dobie well, Grace
is the song he didn't really add anything to.
He made it shitty. Like, it's really hard to make that song shitty because I love every version of it, but that's the worst version of that song in history.
Yeah, and I love most versions that I've heard of House of the Rising Sun, but I still would always go back to the Animals.
Yes.
Even though technically it's not like it's their original song.
Yeah. It's not.
You know, I think the lyrics they traced back to like the 20s.
Yeah.
Hurt by Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
That is my...
I think with some old English folk song.
No, it was a Nine Inch Nails
Hurt
song.
Hurt by Johnny Cash. Oh, and I fucking love the Nine Inch Nails version, but damn you, when I saw the Johnny Cash thing, that's like life-changing kind of music right there, you know?
Well, see, one of the reasons I like covers, like Johnny Cash to me was the perfect cover because he took a song and flipped it on its head. Like the way he did it changed the song. And I see, to me, that was one of the reasons the guy was a genius. Sometimes people do it cover for cover, and that's one of the reasons I like Disturbed's version of Sounds of Silence, because I think he put a little funk on it that wasn't necessarily there before. Like, it was still kind of a dark song, but I think because that guy really does have amazing vocals, I think he added a little bit more dreariness to it that I think really enhanced it.
That's the thing about covers, you know. Yeah, All on the Watchtower for sure.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix version.
The thing
I like
about
better.
Covers is you're getting people who that song meant something to, you know, maybe in a way that the original artist not necessarily had intended, but can still be interpreted that way. That's why I love the Joe Cocker with a little help from my friends, because to me he did that song, I think, the way he heard it, you know, not as some poppy upbeat tune, but like this really passionate cry out, you know?
Exactly.
So, since Ryan threw out two covers that I was going to pick, I'll change one of mine. Right off the top of my head, it's got to go to Sweet Dreams by Marilyn Manson.
No shit.
That is an amazing song.
I like the
Eurythmics as well, but I like Manson's better.
See, I like the Eurythmics better, but I'll definitely give you his version because he added something that song never originally had. He added his funk to it, which you're right. It totally changed the song. It went from being kind of a pop song to being a creepy fucking song, especially if you saw the music video, if I remember correctly.
And then Lake of Fire by Nirvana. That was a cover by... of the Meat Puppet song. And I don't know if you've seen it. Originally I was totally against this, but I actually watched the video, listened to the song, and I think they actually did a great job as Five Finger Death Punch version of Zombie by the Cranberries.
I have not heard anything they've done.
I have not heard that either.
Oh,
I actually liked it. Initially, I was going to be like, oh, you know, it's going to be terrible, like The Sound of Silence by Disturbed. But, you know, it actually turned out to not be bad. I actually enjoy it.
Okay, I've got the ultimate song right here as far as which is better than the original. Me and Bobby McGee by Janis Joplin, written and originally performed by Kris Kristofferson. And Kris Kristofferson gave it to her personally. So I like her version better.
All right.
Just because it has her flavor to it, I think the song originally.
My top two picks always, always will be Cats in the Cradle by Ugly Kid Joe and the Animals version of House of the Rising Sun.
God, see, it's really hard for me to pick.
Those are my top two hands down. Every time if somebody says, what's a great cover? Those are the first two, and then I'll go to Sweet Dreams by Marilyn Manson.
See, my problem is it's really hard for me to pick, like, another one that I just...
Hurt by Johnny Cash is amazing.
Another one who I just completely forgot about is Over the Rainbow by Israel, and I can never pronounce this dude's name right. Kamiko.
Yeah, Brother Is. Just call him Brother Is.
Yeah, Is. I love his version so much better than Judy Garland's. Because, there's so much happiness in that. Like, it's one of those songs that you can listen to be pissed off and you'd be in a better mood just by listening to it. Just the way it's done.
Well, it's also a bit of a mashup, too. Yeah. He breaks into Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
Yeah, he goes back and forth. So it's basically his own version of the song. But, you know, I still got to go with it.
Which is kind of like if you were talking about a cover, that's kind of what I would pick as a cover. Most of the covers I like, the person took their song and made it their own. Johnny Cash and Hurt, Brother Is, and Over the Rainbow, even Marilyn Manson's version of Beautiful People. Like, if you take all these songs, it's the same song. And a lot of times it's even the same, musically it's right, but it's just... It's the same, but it's the way they do it that just changes the song. Marilyn Manson adds creepiness to everything. I don't care if he was doing It's a Wonderful Life. It would be creepy as hell.
But in comparison to most of his other songs, it stands out.
It stands out for me, honestly, just because it was one of the first things I heard he did.
It was Beautiful People and... songs along those lines, but which I still love Beautiful People by Manson. That is one of his greatest songs ever done.
Well, here's something I didn't know. Tainted Love by...
I also want to throw out Me First in the Gimme Gimme's version of Science Fiction Double Picture Show from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
As an honorable mention.
All right.
I didn't realize Tainted Love was originally done by somebody else.
I didn't know that.
It was done by... Gloria Jones.
Keep Trick? Oh,
it was originally the cover was done by Soft Cell. The one everybody knows is done by Soft Cell.
Soft Cell, that's why.
Sorry, that just kind of blew me away. I was like, whoa.
Well, nobody knows that Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You" was originally Dolly Parton.
I did know that.
So here's the issue: See, Dolly Parton's a hard one just because even if she didn't sing it, she's such a prolific writer.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff that she's done that nobody knows is her. On the other hand, she can't hit, she's never been able to hit the notes that she could.
You know, that's why Whitney Houston's version is always sort of relegated as the better one.
Yeah.
Because it stands out more.
It's just all the coke. But she's been clean for a long time now.
She did what? Whitney Houston?
Yeah, saying she's been clean for a while.
She has been clean for quite a while. Oh, yeah, a couple years now.
I mean, not as much as Kurt Cobain, but, she's getting up there.
Yeah, straight to the head, man.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain's got some years under his belt now. I wonder what shit he's up to.
So here's one that I don't know if I agree with. I'd have to listen to both side by side. Whiskey in the Jar, originally done by Thin Lizzy. This article I'm reading likes Metallica's version better.
Thin Lizzy was the original one?
Yeah.
No. Hands down, Jerry Garcia's Whiskey in a Jar is way better.
God, I like Thin Lizzy, though. You know what the funniest thing?
I love their version of fucking House of the Rising Sun, by the way.
Yeah, I do, too, but it's definitely not as good as the Animals, though.
Do you know what's funny about...
No, of course not.
You know what's funny about Thin Lizzy?
Okay, if we're talking House of the Rising Sun, Frigid Pink band from the 70s does this really bitchin' psychedelic version of it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Who is it? Frigid Pink?
Yeah.
Yeah, Frigid Pink. It's also one of my favorite band names of all time.
Oh, that's pretty damn good.
The funniest thing about Thin Lizzy is everybody knows at least one Thin Lizzy song, but nobody fucking knows who they are. So if y'all are listening...
Dude, I just found out like 10 years ago the lead singer's black.
What? McFly, seriously?
He watched him at night.
Yeah, it scared me. I mean, not like I watched a lot of fucking Thin Lizzy music videos, but, you know.
I was actually heartbroken as a kid when I heard he overdosed, but like the boy. So everybody out there, if you're listening, the boys are back in town. You've heard it. It's attached to baseballs, TV channels, all sorts of things. Yeah. That is a Thin Lizzy song.
Any movie where that fits the circumstance, they're getting that song. Everybody knows Jailbreak.
I seriously hope one of those guys in there gets credit. Gets any time they modify it, they get paid.
They get some compensation.
Because that song's everywhere. I literally sat down one day and listened to the radio, which I almost never do, and heard it half a dozen times in different varying things. I've even heard the music from it. It's like,
yeah, but the story of Thin Lizzy is actually pretty interesting. Have you ever heard?
It's been a long time.
It's pretty interesting.
I do like them though. I haven't listened to them in a long time, but I always thought they were an amazing band. It's like Leonard Skinner when the plane crash happened. It's like the band, you miss what it was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the lead singer or the members that died, I mean, pretty much after the lead singer passed away, they didn't really go anywhere. That's one of the reasons like Van Halen amazed me. The fact that they were able to replace the lead singer, and I wouldn't say flawlessly, but enough to stay around amazes me.
You know, I would also say AC/DC was like that too. They did a great one.
But when they picked, was it Brian something over? Because when Bon Scott picked, they picked the perfect guy just because how similar and dissimilar the guy really is.
Yeah. What the hell? Why are they hanging up on Brian so much?
That was the thing that amazes me because those are almost two different. I mean, they're so, what would I say? They're different enough, but they're similar enough that they still have the same funk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, but in all honesty, I would say it's not necessarily, it took me out of, Ryan, are you there?
Oh, Ryan? Yeah, that was weird.
And I would say for AC/DC, honestly, they could replace AC/DC with almost anything, but it's the actual guitarists. And unfortunately, one of them passed away, but it's the physical.
Yeah, was that Angus Lee?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the actual musicians in AC/DC that you could never replace.
True.
I watched a video. For a while, I got in this thing of watching loadout videos where you go underneath the stage and they'd have a guy talk about all the equipment all these musicians would play. And the AC/DC guys don't clean their equipment. Like if they're on tour, they don't clean it very much. They don't swap anything out. If it works, it works. And the short guy who wears that school kid's uniform, I can never remember his name.
Young.
Is that Angus Young? He sweats so much on stage. The main guitar he used actually has rust from him. And I was like, see, that to me is the ultimate musician. It's the dude who just want to play, doesn't really give a shit. Like it works. Let's go. You know,
If you watch him play the guitar, I mean, he's like dancing like a drummer. He moves like a drummer.
What was the guy who did Johnny B. Good?
Oh, goodness.
Because that guy, if you watch him, that dude's all over the place.
Yeah.
He's dancing, twirling, doing all sorts of crazy crap. So I can totally see. Plus the fact, you know, they're under like 1,000 degrees of lights and their stages. I watched one of their concert videos. I swear to God, their stage was half a mile long and he's dancing all across the stage. It's like, dude, you must do insane cardio just to stay up and doing that.
Okay, I have an important question. If McFly covered Chuck Berry and then Marvin got the song from McFly and gave it to Chuck Berry, who covered it?
Chuck Berry.
I mean, technically, right?
Yeah.
Like, as far as all those kids are concerned, like a couple of years later, they're going to be like, how does that kid fucking miss McFly's fucking song?
So, I'm sorry. I know we're not talking about covers, but I just saw one that made me laugh. So, I'm not a big Beatles fan. There are songs that I like. I can see why people like them. They're just not my cup of tea. This person said, number 25, Godsmack does an incredible cover of Come Together. This is where I'm going to disagree. The Beatles version is actually pretty damn amazing, and Godsmack just, I'm sorry.
You know, I didn't like a lot of the covers they did for Across the Universe. I like some of them. But one of the ones that was done was Joe Cocker doing Come Together, and I dig the shit out of that one.
I'll have to find that one, because there are certain Beatles songs that, to me, it's like, you just can't fucking...
Ray Charles' version of Let It Be.
Yeah, Wilson Pickett's got a great version of Hey Jude.
I never heard that one yet.
Fucking good.
Honestly, Ray Charles... I think Ray Charles was one of those rare talents that he could pretty much cover anything and he could make it his own, which is pretty much what at least my version of what a true cover is it's you have to put your own funk on it and make it yours. Because if you do a play for play cover, then it's just not the same. Because if I wanted to watch, say, Jimi Hendrix, if somebody did a cover of Purple Haze, if I wanted to hear Jimi Hendrix play Purple Haze, I'd put on my Best Of album.
So I've got a question now.
But I'll go for Stevie Ray Vaughan for Little Wing.
So do you consider Ice Ice Baby a cover of Under Pressure?
No, because he made it his own. He just borrowed the melody.
But he made it his own.
Yeah.
So is it technically a cover of Under Pressure?
No, because it's not using the same lyrics.
That's a sample.
I'm just saying, you know. Well, I mean, do you always have to cover the lyrics, or can you cover the beat?
No.
You know what I will give a pass to as far as cover is fucking Run DMC, because they used Walk This Way, the actual chorus. So I'll qualify that as a cover.
All right. See, that one's a hard one, because Aerosmith actually helped them with that, didn't it?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they were part of the music video and everything.
So I don't know if that would be a cover. Is I would say it was
more of a reimagining.
Yeah, or a sample. I think that would be more in the sample category, because I think you got to sing the whole song more or less in order to be a true cover. Like Johnny Cash's "Hurt," Me and Bobby McGee. I think you could say if it's a long song, you need to shorten it up. I could see removing parts of it, but I think you got
a Hawaiian version of "Over the Rainbow."
Yeah, I think you got to do most of it in order to be a true cover.
Right.
Like, because just doing ding, did it, ding, did it, ding, ding. I just, that's a sample. Which, by the way, I heard Vanilla. I don't ever know whether to trust Vanilla Ice. Just because of the 90s, I always think he's full of shit. But he actually said he owns the rights to Under Pressure completely and fully. And I'm like, so how did you get that away, A, from Queen, or B, David Bowie? Queen, I could totally see never getting
it. There was a lawsuit. And then he probably just said, like, hey, I think I'm using this song a little more than you guys. You guys got a pretty decent catalog. How about we let me have this one?
I just don't see Queen. Queen specifically, I don't see them giving it up. David Bowie, I wasn't a big enough fan for David Bowie to kind of get the feel for him. But Queen, I could totally see no, just because I think after Freddie Mercury died, they were really into protecting what was theirs. Which I think is right, just because I think Queen is an amazing band with...
Yeah, but that was a collaboration. I mean, it's not like, you know, they really did it just for
Shits
the purpose
and giggles
of working together.
So who do you think actually owned the rights to that, now that I think about it? I always assumed it was Queen, but if it was originally a David Bowie song...
Rip Van Winkle?
Well, it was both. I think Queen probably did most of the melody and whatnot, and...
Don't get me wrong.
I don't know who actually has the writing credit.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not a big fan of the song, but I've always loved Queen.
Yeah. I mean, if you cannot be a fan of music and hate Queen, as far as I'm concerned.
And the weirdest thing for me, and this is a little bit on the politics sidebar, so I got and another thing sidebar, so I've got a trigger warning, is I remember talking to people who hated Queen just because Freddie Mercury was gay, and it's just like, okay, remove his sexuality, because A, unless he's fucking doing it on stage, How can you tell? But listen.
Yeah, right.
Listen to his music. I know very few musicians off the top of my head that had that fucking range. And if you don't believe me,
he was an amazing.
Listen, my listen to the Flash theme song. Just in the range that he goes to so fast. There's other good examples, but that's the one thing. It's just like, whether you like gay people or not, if it's their art, you know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I mean,
by the way, don't be a hater.
Yeah, not only that one, but We Are the Champions. That is an amazing song as well.
I'll be honest, that got played out, but the fact that how much We Are the Champions and
We Will Rock You.
We Will Rock You. How those two became synonymous with sports.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you cannot go to any sports game, whether it be baseball or football, probably not so much hockey or soccer, but you're always going to hear We Will Rock You.
And the whole dun, 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 you know, how that right there is amazing. That very few songs where I think really kind of get in people's head enough that you could just have to go and everybody just instantaneously gets it. It's like being in Texas and doing the Heart of Texas. It seems like every Texan knows it.
Yeah. Anyways, but no, as far as I'm concerned, you cannot be a musician or a fan of music and hate Queen.
One of my favorite things on YouTube for a while, my girlfriend got me down a rabbit hole on was the people who have never heard specific music, like hip hop people who've never heard rock and roll before.
Yeah, I love those.
Reacting to like Queen or something like that. And they're like, okay, people have been telling me to listen to this band called Queen. This song called Bohemian Rhapsody. And you're just like, oh, you've never heard of this before? And you just think, you assume that everybody's heard that song. Yeah, at least I did. And I'm like, oh, here's somebody who's never heard this. And you almost, the joy that I fucking got from watching these people, their eyes get big, like, what the fuck? Oh shit!
What am I listening to? This is amazing.
Damn good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how have I never heard this before? Like, what? I want to listen to some more Queen. You're just like, oh, it's amazing.
So I had a question. Do you guys have a song that you guys just really love? For an example, for me, the song that most people think would out of my wheelhouse, but out of my top 10 songs, it's probably number one or two is Dobie Gray's "Drift Away." It's literally one of my all-time songs because it has the melody, like the Purple Haze melody for me, that as soon as the song plays, you instantaneously knows what it is, you know. It is one of my top 10 songs. Will always be one of my top 10 songs.
I think the two songs that come to mind that are most often on my top 10 would be and I mean, probably considered, you know, two of my favorite songs ever. Tropical Harem, Whiter Shade of Pale.
Yes, I love that song.
And Fuck Her Gently, Tenacious D.
Hmm. All right. I wish I could say the band's name on Lighter Shade of Pale, but I've never been able to say it correctly. I've heard people say it. I've had recordings of people say it, and for some reason, I still fuck it up. But just I love that song.
Keep a tape recorder with you. Procol Harum. Just the name.
Yeah, Procol Harum.
Yeah, just keep a tape recorder with the name, and when you just want to say the name, just push the tape recorder, and it says it. I mean, very simple solution, John.
And it was one of those things for me, honestly, that blew my mind. Like, I remember Sonny Rollins, is a jazz musician, and I was listening to my jazz play this one day, smoking a cigar. Then all of a sudden, I heard this kind of traditional... Can you shut the door a little bit more? I heard kind of this traditional jazz. Then all of a sudden, I heard this hint of a Latin beat in it. And it was a way that I've never heard before, and it literally blew my mind. I literally just remember going down the rabbit hole of, holy shit, this is fucking amazing.
You know,
And Procol Harum was like that for me, because there's just something about that song that is so distinct to its time, but the way it's done for me is just like, ah!
So I don't...
It's one of the most beautiful songs that I can think of, yeah.
So I remember the album name, but... it was the first tape I ever bought that I actually went out and bought.
Yes, he's old, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Anyways, so, but It was Grateful Dead. Now, the problem with the Grateful Dead is those bastards cannot do the same song twice in a row.
You could buy all their CDs and have one song and not have one song that's similar. Yeah. They're amazing like that.
They really are. But it's Broke Down Palace in front of the devil.
Hmm. Yeah.
Now, I know most people will know Front of the Devil as long as you're over your 30s. But
shit, you got me into that one.
Yeah, Broke Down Palace.
I think into the dead in general.
Yeah, but Broke Down Palace was just an amazing song that was just kind of the spur of the moment. It's just like when I said Whiskey in the Jar by Jerry Garcia. I say by Jerry Garcia is because he was not in the band technically doing a recording.
Yeah, that was the piece of tape, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was just a tape that they were just kind of talking, and you literally hear Jerry Garcia in the beginning of the song just go, you know, I remember this old kind of folk song. I don't really remember all the lyrics, and he starts playing it, and he just starts singing, and he sings the whole thing. And at the end of it, he goes, I think that's how it goes.
But, yeah, yeah, exactly. But
that's kind of how the Dead worked. They never really had a set of songs that they were always going to do. But yeah, that's really what they're...
Also, the reason people followed them around, aside from the acid, was because you're getting a different show every time. You know what I mean? You can't do that for, you know, fucking the boss or something.
So this is going to be sacrilegious for some people. I'm not really a giant Grateful Dead song. Don't get me wrong. I can see why people like them. Not my particular cup of tea, but one of the reasons
why people don't like it.
Yeah, I agree.
One of the reasons why
I'm one of those people that's like, oh, I get it. If you're not liking them, I'm on board.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, though, they'll actually always hold a special place in my heart is because from everything I've ever read about them, they would experiment with everything.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, look up the Wall of Sound. Look at the speaker system that they toured with. And it took years to make, and it was so ridiculous. I think they only did one actual tour with it. Simply because of that is one of the reasons why I'll always love them, because I love bands that are not afraid to experiment. And maybe this is a thing of the 60s, because if you look at the Moody Blues, the Sounds of Future Past, I don't know if it was, but to me, that particular album would have sold diddly shit nowadays, just because...
Yeah.
It's,
by the way, Questions by Moody Blues is also one of my favorite songs of all time.
Huh. I can't remember song lyrics to save my life. I know I've heard it. I just can't remember.
Yeah.
Why
do we never get an answer?
Okay.
Okay, so now I had to look this up, and unfortunately, they don't actually have it, but I do have a very rare Grateful Dead CD album. And I just looked on here, and they really don't have the actual count that is on there, but they had over 150 band members.
I believe it.
And the Grateful Dead that, you know, they were there for maybe a couple tours or, you know, a couple shows, but they never really kept the core, but they weren't part of the core members, but the core members were basically Jerry Garcia and Robert Hunter, I believe, and a few others that I just can't think off the top of my head, but... They were just a band that was really good at what they did, but they were, like I said, you'll never hear the same song twice.
You want to know why I respect the Dead so much? Their sound engineer was also one of the last guys that knew how to make acid.
Yeah. Was it...
They traveled with their own fucking chemist.
Was it Walsley Bear Stanley?
Yeah, that's him.
I don't know. See, the older I've gotten, I think the more music I've appreciated because the way, you know, I was raised with the old guy, he's always been into music was a musician when he was younger. And so I've always had appreciation for music. The issue that's always come for me is I don't really appreciate new music. And maybe this is kind of the elitist in me. And if it is, my humble apologies. I just don't see music being the same. Like the best way to describe it, one of my all-time favorite Christina Aguilera albums, matter of fact, it's the only album I really like of hers. I think it's the Dirty album, because I actually like the lyrics of most of the songs, like how it's engineered. But the issue I have with it is it's perfect. They can do 12 different songs, and you can literally cut all the best parts I don't like that. I would rather hear somebody like the Grateful Dead, who could not reproduce every version, the same version night to night, whether somebody had a cold, a different musician. I appreciate that so much more because it's raw talent versus Pro Tools. I like the fact that back in the 60s, you have Jimi Hendrix, who played a guitar backwards and upside down, and that made for his flavor. I really dislike modern music because of that. Now, the indie music, however, they don't have access to everything. I mean, they'd probably do a little bit more. Maybe it's a little bit better, but the mass music that's out now, I can't stand 99% of it. It's all
shit. That's the key thing. You know, pop music is always going to change in a direction that you don't like. You know, but there's still people out there making that kind of music. It's just, fuck, man, these days it's so hard to separate the wheat from the chaff, you know?
So my issue with pop music, and I didn't really think about this until I was working where I do now, when they have basically different Pandora stations on all the time, but they do have like the greatest hits that they play sometimes on it of the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And I realized something, guys.
What's
you know what I realized? Lyrics are hard. And 80% of all of those best songs are just sounds. Whatever the fuck they want to do. But most of their songs don't have coherent lyrics or actual complete sentences and lyrics.
I got one better for you. Advertisers never actually know what the songs are about. Like, my favorite one was having a bunch of little kids sing, "Yummy, yummy, yummy, I've got love in my tummy." And I heard that and was instantly creeped out because everything I've ever heard, including from the musicians themselves, that was not about food.
Yeah, I threw your lime in the coconut one more goddamn time in my life. I'm joining ISIS.
And you drink it all up.
Fucking Death of the Infidels at that point. I hate that song so much.
But you drink it all up.
Actually, you know what song I used to...
Have you called the doctor?
Fuck you. That's enough of that. Actually, you know what song I used to love, but even today I hate because my local radio station was. I really loved Godsmack's Voodoo because for that album it was on. It was different than everything. Then
Voodoo was dope.
Up in Sacramento, there's there was a rock station named 98 Rock. Now it's the classics. It's the best of the 90s and early 2000s. They literally, if you were on the bus, they would play it almost back-to-back multiple times, and there's only so much you can hear that song before you're going to pluck the motherfucker's eye out to you next to you. like fucking in Kill Bill. I hate that song still. Matter of fact, I have that album, and if I play it once in a while, that turns on, I'm like, no, you know. I'll rush to it like a fat guy running after a donut. I hate that song with a passion. Oh, what was it? There was an honorable mention band for me on anything is Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I love Pink Floyd, especially Shine Like You Crazy Diamond?
Shine On You Crazy Diamond,
because I love the musical part of it. The lyrics, give or take, but the music part of it is my absolute favorite.
So Brian and I have a great, great story about this song. Do you remember this song, Brian? Do you still have the scar?
Oh, that one.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Do you remember Shine On You Crazy Diamond? And do you still have the scar? Do you not remember what was going on with that one?
Oh, apparently I've done too many drugs since then.
You cut out on all of that, what? Hello?
I guess we're having issues. And we're kind of coming up to...
The end of the show. So I was going to have fun telling this story, but I can't hear Ryan at all. Let's find out if he remembers what I'm talking about. Oh, there you are. Oh, now you're gone again.
Yeah, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're having some connectivity issues with, I'd say he's everybody's favorite host, but then I would be lying. Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, I'm waiting for what scar that I should be looking for.
Do you remember when you mentioned to me that you can name any of the classic songs that I had on my burn CD?
I remember.
Just by the opening? but Shine On You Crazy Diamond came on. And I put my little butterfly knife on your thigh.
Oh, that's right. You stabbed me in the leg.
Well, I didn't stab you initially. I just put it there, and I said, if you can name this song before the lead singer starts singing, I won't stab you. And that song, ladies and gentlemen, has no singing for 9 minutes.
yeah, no shit. And for the, yeah, I absolutely do remember that, because I could not come up with the name of that song.
Or 9 minutes with a knife on his thigh.
My favorite moment ever.
A sharp dark in fucking here, knife. I can't see.
My favorite moment ever, as far as identifying the song with the first two notes, was there's an artist by the name of David Garibaldi. He used to do this thing called Rhythm and Hue. He still does it, but I don't know what he calls it now. And he did Purple Haze. James and I literally, the second note in, we're like, Purple Haze, awesome. And then everybody looked at us going, how did you know that? We're like, it's Purple Haze. Like, seriously? Now I'm insulted. How do you not know Purple Haze?
Yeah, I still wish I could have afforded that painting.
Right?
A really badass painting.
Of all the things I regret not buying, that was one of them.
Yeah, David Garibaldi, yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pride, for the Fat Man, and for Ryan, unfortunately creepy Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.